over in the book of Timothy. We'll be starting in chapter 4, and I'll tell you what, this is very relevant to the condition of things today in our religious world. Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 says, now. You know where that is, don't you? Now. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Now, don't you hold that up. That's the faith. That's right here is the faith. That's what that's talking about. This body of doctrine. They're gonna leave from the faith, and they're gonna jump on to anything and everything. I had a dream, you know, visions, and all kinds of stuff. New revelations, new scriptures, new, you know what I mean? Just all kinds of stuff. And they're going to depart from this for all kinds of other things, doctrines of devils. It says they'll depart from the faith, and instead of giving heed to the Word of God, and I know any of you as a preacher sometimes, you wonder if anybody's listening. Sometimes you wonder if anybody's paying attention. But praise God, there are people, they are. And there's people that love this Bible, but hey, you want to know how a lot of people are getting away from the truth? I really believe it's Bible of the Month Club is one of the chief things that's causing problems in our churches. I don't think it's just because you say a modern version. It's because they have left the love for the Word of God, and they want something new, ticky. You know, and say it a different way or something like that. Everybody's always wanting something new. Well, this Bible is new every day. Just study the doggone thing. You'll find how new it is. I found over my years of studying the Bible that I've changed my mind on a lot of the things because I didn't really know how to divide it correctly a lot of times. There were things that was hidden to my mind that I hadn't seen. I'm just flesh. The Spirit's got to teach this Bible to. Some people, they talk about, this is just easier to understand, this Bible. Well, I said, if you can understand it without the Spirit of God, it ain't the Word of God anyway. Huh? Because His Word is spiritually discerned, and if you can understand what it's got to say without the Spirit of God teaching you, then it is not the Word of God. It's a newspaper. It's a commentary. It's a lot of different things. And it might contain the Word of God, but it's not the Word of God. And I think that's one of the things that Satan is using the most, and you can't. It's hard to tell people this. In our churches today, it's hard for people can't hear this for some reason. I don't know why it is. They think you're being narrow. Well, I am narrow. I'm so narrow. Boy, I tell you, mosquito can slide, land on his nose and slide down to the end of black both eyes. I'm narrow. I believe there's only one Word of God. I believe there's only one Christ, one Lord, one God. I believe it's one. I believe it's narrow. The Bible says narrow is the way that leads into life, and few there be that find it. So, ain't nothing wrong with being narrow. But while you're narrow, are you teachable? That's what counts. Are you teachable? Are we being taught? Are we allowing the Word of God to teach us? And instead of seducing us. See, this ain't teaching. This is seducing that the Bible's talking about. You leave from the Word of faith, you're not going to be taught anymore. You're going to be seduced. You're going to be lied to. You're going to be deceived. And you need to, hey, make up your mind that you... Back when I first got saved, I didn't know all this argument about the Bible. The Bible is the Bible. It's God's Word, period. I mean, you know. And then I found out all these people was arguing and fussing about versions and stuff. I didn't know a thing about that. When I was raised up, there wasn't one Bible. I got old black King James Bible. Everybody had one in their house, you know. Everybody knew it was the Word of God. Then some people come along and, like them J.W.'s, said, well, there are 200 mistakes in it. Then all these wonderful Bible scholars. I'm going to tell you something. You look in the Bible and you look under scholars and you find scholars in the Bible, you know what? They wasn't nothing but a bunch of trouble. Bunch of deceivers and liars. And so you got to be careful about it. I've heard people say, I'm no Bible scholar. Well, I said, no, that's not a bad thing. Won't you just be an old common man? Won't you just be a common man? You know, like chitlins, collard greens, you know, just be common. I mean, you know, be common as loafers. I mean, just be common, you know. God can teach common man something. Man knows everything. He's like the little Chinese fella trying to tell his little fella that's following him around, the learner, you know. He said, let me see you cut. And he pours it, and all of a sudden the tea is running over. He said, it's full. He said, yeah, that's the problem. You're full. You can't learn nothing because you're already full. And so, you know, that's the way a lot of people are. They think they know something, and the Bible says they don't know nothing. They don't know nothing. And so, because of this, they give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, we could go over tons of them. I like something Joe Allen said one time. He said, you can take every heresy in the Bible, every heresy that's being taught by the cults, and it can be healed by the mysteries that's found in Paul's gospel. And the last one of them. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that Jesus was God. Well, if they looked over that mystery, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. But nobody teaches that. You don't hear preachers preach on it. And so people not knowing, being ignorant, they're seduced. It ain't no wonder we have problems with people leaving. Look at all the church problems. Look at all the, everybody, eggy Christians. Who was that, Brother Rick? Talk, had that message about eggy Christians. Up at White Plains. I didn't know who it was now. Eggy Christians. He said, you got to be careful how you handle them. You're liable to break them. You know, they just crack so easy. Nothing. You just can't tell them nothing if without them getting offended and getting cracked. You know? And then they all walk around sucking on their thumbs and they want a bottle. You know? Will you burp me, preacher? I'm having a trouble digesting this. We ought to be more mature than that. We need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Huh? Always abounding in the Word of God. That Word of God, man. Hey, you want to find a Spirit-filled Christian? You find a Bible-filled Christian. Jesus said, my words are spirit and my words are life. You want to be Spirit-filled? Here's the Spirit. Just fill yourself up with this. Let the Word of God direct you, teach you, move you, fill you. But some of them's going to leave from this. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We could name several of them, you know. Like I said, hey, you know, you got to, man, and they're growing in leaps and bounds. You go over there on Old Concord Road, look at all them cars parked out there in that kingdom mess. Huh? Jesus ain't God, they say. Oh, no, I'm not going to heaven. I'm going to live here on this earth. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're part of the church, you're going to heaven. Yes, there's going to be a kingdom on this earth, and Jesus Christ is going to set it up. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and He's set down at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Amen?
Amen.
And we're going to enjoy a new heaven and a new earth. I think we're going to enjoy both of them. The church is the body of Christ. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We're going to be with Him throughout eternity. And He's going to be in that new Jerusalem as it right over top of the earth, you know, coming down out of heaven. And Betty, and this earth will be truly God's footstool at that time. And the tabernacle of God will be with men. You know, they know what they know, but I tell you what, hey, quit sicking the dogs on them and get enough God about you that you can witness to them. It's pretty bad when, quote, God's people can't even witness to somebody that don't know the Word of God. You know, when they get me all tangled up, study. Huh? Know the Word of God. I didn't hardly know the Word of God, but I knew what they were saying wasn't right. I had the Spirit of God in there and said, that ain't right. Look, just get in the Word. Don't let these doctrines of devils, you know, don't let this world, and that's another thing, stuff like evolution and stuff, that's doctrines of devils. Huh? Don't let this world intimidate you. You're a child of God. Your Father owns all the hills and the cattle on them and everything. But we run around people intimidated, scared, you know. Well, they might make me, they're smart men. They're so smart, they might make me look dumb. Hey, if you got enough sense to know this Word of God, you can show them that they're the ones that's dumb. I said, back when the science and educator said the world was flat, the Word of God said it was round. Huh? Way before they knew about air currents and the circulatory system of the water, the Bible told how that worked. And when men were still, I mean, all but stone age, you know, didn't know nothing. Old King Solomon said, go to the ant, thou sluggard. And learn of her. Now, how in the world did he know that the ant was a female? He didn't have no microscope. He could study her sex. Huh? And they want to say that the Word of God is not scientific. They're fools. You stand up. I heard a guy tell me, well, you don't understand. I believe in science. Oh, you do? I said, it wasn't until Hubble come along that they knew the stars was in motion, that they were moving. But the Bible said that God put them in their courses. Learn the Bible. Learn the Word of God. Don't be afraid of these cults and these. And I'm going to tell you something. That's all this thing evolution is, this religion. It takes a lot of faith to believe in that junk.
That's
faith of your
own. Yeah,
what we got,
he's
given. Yeah, it ain't true faith. It's a false faith. I didn't mean it was faith like true faith. I mean it's a false faith. You're putting your confidence in something that's nothing but a lie. I wonder where all that, you know. I tell you what, they start talking to me about missing links. I said, you're right. I'm looking at one right now. come on. You know, it's nonsense. There's no way they can prove none of these things they teach.
they'll tell you that, man, they say the closest star is 4 light years away. That's the closest one, they say. I don't say that. I don't know. I ain't got a clue. They say it's 4 light years away. That's the speed of light traveling 186,000 miles per second for 4 years. That's a long ways off. And these same knuckleheads can't even tell you what's on the bottom of the ocean, which is only about 4 miles. But they want to tell you what's hundreds of millions of miles away. And they say some of these stars that they look at and learn and all this stuff. We can see that there's planets coming around some of these, and that thing's about 4 billion light years away. 4 billion light years. Start looking at those numbers. I said, you people, crippled, too high for crutches. You've made a god out of your science. And the Bible says, beware of science, falsely, so-called. True science is provable. It's provable. You can prove it. So don't let them people intimidate you. Don't be scared. Let them read your Bible. Throw your Bible in their face. It has the power. It has power. The word is powerful. It's quick. That's alive. Don't depend on your skill as a speaker. Don't depend on your skill as a soul winner. Just depend on the word of God. It has power. That's right. Just give them the word of God. And trust it. Don't try to fix it either. Huh? Don't try to fix it. Don't try to, you know what, it means this. It means what it says. Just because you don't know what it means doesn't mean it doesn't change the meaning. You know? So don't go around trying to fix it. You say, well, we don't do that. We don't. I think we looked at something the other week, Brother Rick. I saw in there, they're trying to fix it. This is what this means. That ain't what it said, this one. It just said what it said, and it meant what it means. And leave it with that. But here we got people that give heed to these seducing spirits. You know, tell you children, I remember when I was a young man, I'd come home and I'd talk about these dinosaurs and all that stuff, and my grandpa would say, dinosaur. Boy, yes, you don't know nothing. You wasn't there. Huh? Won't you worry about what you got right here in front of your face? You know? He had more sense. He didn't have a second grade education. He knew more than most of these science and educators. He knew the Bible was right. Couldn't even read it, but he still knew it was right. He could hear it. When God read it, he knew it was true. He didn't know a whole lot from it, but he knew it was true. He knew truth when he heard it. And I tell you what, we need to know a lie when we hear it too. Huh? And that's called by a thing called discernment. The Bible says we need to be able to discern the spirits of what sort they are. These doctrines of devils. Now, let's look. It says they speak lies in hypocrisy. Well, you know, if I'm wanting to behave in such a way, if I'm wanting to believe in such a way, then I can rest the scriptures.
I can twist them. I can tweak them. I can change the meaning a little bit. I seen a thing one time. It had they were people that it was on a quote, they were supposed to be translators. And they was taking the old blessed King James Bible and translating it into their doctrine, into their church doctrine, what their church believed. That sounded like the Jews, don't it? What they did when Jesus was around. And they had all these different groups, Nazarene, Baptists, there was a bunch of different ones on there, and they was all working on translating this Bible, and they was translating it not according to the early translators, bringing language. You know, if somebody honestly translated the King James Bible into a modern language and didn't defile it, it would still be the Word of God, but nobody's done that. Nobody's done that. Nobody's even attempted to do that. What do? They translate it to suit their doctrine, their philosophy. That's exactly right. So then you got to mess with the meanings and teachings, and then you got to twist this and twist that. You got to leave out this and put in that. It says right here, and here's the kind of things they do. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, thank you, Bible. Let's turn over to the book of Revelation. Very last chapter. Very last chapter. Let's look at verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And John saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Now look. Then saith he, see thou do it not. See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal up the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. He said, behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am. He didn't say I was. He said, I am Alpha, the beginning. I am Alpha. I am Omega. He said, not that I will be Omega. I am Omega right now. He's all time, condensed in one person. From beginning to end, thou art God. He said, blessed are thee that do his commandments, and that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates of the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters. Whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. He said, I'll blot it out. Our Jesus died that they might have life. He said, but if they refuse me, don't get their name put down in that Lamb's book. He said, I'll blot your name out of the book of life. I will blot, I will take away thy part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. And he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. And here's what John had to say. Even so. We just read the book. We just read the book. And when we read the book, John says, he's wiping the sweat off his forehead. He says, oh, it's going to be rough. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you always. Oh, amen. Praise God. I read a testimony of a fellow. He worked on the New American Standard Version. God got a hold of him. I read his testimony. He was quaking inside his spirit because he really laid hold of what this book said. There at the end. If any man add to or take away from, that's preachers. We've got to be careful. Huh? We might not be writing a book. If we add to or take away, that should make us tremble if we would do such a thing. We should think about it hard about what we say. If we're going to say, the Lord saith this, we better think hard about what we're saying. Amen. Them old guys came up there, old Jeremiah was there, and they said, well, the Lord said, the Lord hath said this, and the Lord has said, oh, within so many years, he said, all the things of God that Nebuchadnezzar took away, he's going to return it back to us. Within 2 years, the Lord hath said. He said, and old Jeremiah said, amen, amen. He said, but you're a liar. He said, if the Lord sent them back, I say, amen, I'm all for it. But then he said, it ain't going to happen. You're a lying prophet. God didn't say that. What did? A seducing spirit. A devil. Who's he listening to? Was he listening to God? No. He listened to his own heart, and the devil said, here's one. He wants what he wants instead of what God wants. I like to say everything's going to get better. I can't say that. All I can say is the Bible says it's going to wax worse and worse. But we can do valiantly in these last days. Old Benny Louder used to say something. He said, well, the darker things get, a match. Get in a black room, just light a match. Boy, it is very visible. See, we ain't got much excuse not to shine in this day and time, huh?
Yes, sir.
If we can't shine now, we never could. Huh? But they shall give heed to this seducing spirit. Look at some of the things. And these things have already come to pass in certain quote, Christian churches. It says, reason why I want us to go back there and look at that, and it says, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, how in the world you confess to be a child of God, how could you mess with this Bible? You say you believe this book. How could you mess with it? How could you think that you were smarter than it? How could you believe that Jesus Christ lied? Jesus said, I shall keep them. Huh? He said, heaven and earth pass away. He said, my words ain't going nowhere. Who am I going to believe? Jesus or scholars? Huh? I'm going to believe Jesus or the Jehovah's Witness who said there's 200 mistakes in this Bible. This Bible says it's pure and perfect. If you had one mistake in it, it's not pure. If you had one mistake in it, it's certainly not perfect. It's complete. It's finished, and it's pure. The pure Word of God. Talking to some of my son-in-law the other day, they ain't got it figured out yet. I'm praying for them. They ain't got it figured out yet.
Education.
Yeah, education will do it every stinking time. Bad education. Not Bible education. Christian education. Bible colleges. Anyway. I said, you know, and the thing of it is, you know, we need to know for sure what we hold in our hands is the absolute truth. And how can a world, and I've heard this said, I know Brother Rick has too, well, how can I know? I mean, there's all these different versions of the Bible and they don't agree with one another. What makes yours right, they may say. I said, well, I tell you what, won't you do like I did when I was wondering about all this argument and stuff? Why don't you ask God? Why don't you ask God? Pray to God. Ask Him to show you. We believe God answers prayer, do we not? Talking with my son-in-law, he said, you know, I've not really studied. I said, we can study it all you want to. I said, you're not going to find the answer through studying. That's the problem. We're studying the Word of God. But don't think that you're going to find some kind of evidence out there that proves that this is the right one. I've read all the little books that's come out. Why the authorized version, and they had just as many questions as they had answers. He said, well, what are you depending on? Him. Mm-hmm. The Spirit of God is in me. I said, if you want to know the answer, it ain't but one place you're going to find, and that's from God Himself. Hey, you see, because the Spirit will guide us into all truth. Not part, all truth. He's not going to guide you into a lie. He said, no, you're going to walk into that with your eyes wide open. And it's going to be your decision on what you're trusting. I say trust the Word of God. If you got a problem with that, talk with me later. But I say trust the Word of God.
Amen.
Don't trust your knowledge. Lean not to thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy path. Now, look at this. It's forbidding to marry. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving to them which believe and know the truth. Now, I'm going to tell you who this crowd is. You ever read in the Bible about a group called the Nicolaitans? You know what they call them today? Roman Catholics. They're called Roman Catholics today. Poor. You know what? Do you know that their pastors used to get married, Brother Rick, at the beginning? They had a couple popes that was married. I don't know why in the world, since they spoke for God, they didn't know that they weren't supposed to be married. No, they were supposed to be married. The bishops are to be the husband of one wife. There's work for unmarried men to do, but it's not as a pastor. He can do great evangelistic work because he's free. He's got the liberty to go out, you know, and establish new churches and put men that do have families that are growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and establish them to take over these churches. But it's not wise for, it's kind of hard for a man that's never had children to, you know, tell you how to raise your family. It's just, you know, because I'm going to tell you, I'll be honest with you, a fella ain't never had no youngs or, you know, or like one guy one time, he was talking, he was telling these women, he said, you know, it's about time some of you women decide you're going to give up working and stay at home and have some youngs. The first thing that went through my mind says, how many kids y'all got? Who determined how many children you was going to have? Whose decision was it? It was a bloody day for the church when they come up with the appeal. You know, we've had the spirit of abortion in our churches ever since then. I can't stand abortion. I can't either. A bloody man. But the Word of God says, who opens the matrix? Well, man decided, you know what? We're going to be God. We're going to decide. We're going to open and close the line. Now, my daughter's getting ready to have this her fourth. She had her fourth today. And now, and I'm already hearing it come from people. It says, well, is one of them going to get fixed now? Fixed. How do you call breaking what God created fixing? I'm not out trying to make nobody feel bad, but I'm going to tell you the doggone truth. I cannot find such a thing in the world. You said, but it's different today. You got all these people in the world. You don't think God knows how many people's in the world? You said, yeah, but you can't afford them. Oh, God's broke, right? He can't see to your needs anymore. Where's our faith? Go ahead, get mad at me. I don't care. I really don't. I made my mind a while back. I ain't shutting up on stuff I know is true anymore. The Word of God said, be fruitful and multiply. He didn't say add.
He didn't say count.
Praise God. How many of you youngest got now? How many of you youngest got now?
13,
right? Yeah, your youngest, yeah.
Seven.
No, you ain't supposed to have more than two. Three is a doggone generous plenty. Who's paying for all of that?
One of those foreign countries said both have a 2.5.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're communists. We're communists now, right? We're living in China. We're communists.
I have 17 grandchildren. Not a great man.
I just don't think it's our place to be God. Decide how many children we're going to have. I tried to ask Daryl Cox one time. I said, Daryl, I'd just like to know. Because, you see, I was trying to teach my family to have as many children as God wanted them to have. And I told somebody up there, Trinity one time, I said, well, I want to have as many children as God wants me to have. And you know what they said? I don't. I don't. He's scared God might want them to have 8 or 10. You know what? We ain't a whole lot different today than those Israelites were over there when they sacrificed their children to Moses. They sacrificed them to them. I'm talking about doctrines of devils, okay? Don't think I've left the subject. I'm not. I think I'm right there on it.
I think we're living in a bloody generation. Good chance we'll get to heaven, and those that are saved, and we get there, and we see a bunch of souls over there. Yeah, these were the ones I wanted to give you. These are the ones I wanted you to have. This one had a cure for cancer. Listen here. He was going to be the next Apostle Paul. He was going to shake the world. I'm being serious here.
Yes, sir.
What blessings have we cut off? Are children a blessing from God?
Amen.
They're not ours either, by the way. They're God's. And a lot of us have said no. Been all my life on that subject. Every time my wife would get pregnant, her brother would say, oh no. Oh my gosh. What they say? My wife was scared to tell them. We didn't have before. That's all we had was four. They act like, oh my gosh. I had a good friend. I had 21.
My grandmother.
And none of them went hungry either. Some of them boys was this tall, Brother Rick, and broad as a barn.
My grandmother had 17.
Yeah. Them rascals, they was so stout, they could have threw a broom straw through a freight train.
That's exactly right.
They look like they and don't mess with them. You mess with one of them, you're out of all the mess with them. They were close. That's enough of that. I made my point. These are doctrines of devils that God never intended for. This is what men want. And, if I have all these children, I ain't going to be able to afford this bass boat. I ain't going to be able for that big house. I'm not going to be able to afford this and that or whatever, you know. And that's what a lot of people elect to do today. We will wait for children because, you know, I want to get established. I want to have this. I want to have that. I said, if you wait till you're ready to have children, you'll never have them. I was dirt poor when I had every last one of mine, and I don't regret it not. God saw the way through. Every time I had my way, we'd have had a few more. My wife finally, she just finally gave in. Well, we didn't have no more. But we didn't get picked. God just didn't give us no more. My wife didn't want no more. I wanted as many as God wanted to have. Maybe I got all that God wanted me to have. I don't know. But I hope that's what your prayer will be for your children and your grandchildren. If the church had just had children, we'd have had this world outnumbered. If we'd have just had children and raised them up as heirs in the hands of a mighty man that would let them go, who knows what the difference might have been. Brother Wick, can you close us out in prayer?